Thank you for joining me for today's daily COVID-19 update. I first want to express my best wishes to Senator Jason Raypert and his family as he has issued a release indicating that he has been tested positive for COVID-19 and that he has admitted himself to a hospital. So we wish him well for a speedy recovery in this. And I reached out to his family and expressed my regard and best wishes for them. Today I'm joined, of course, by Dr. Jose Romero, Acting Secretary of the Department of Health. I'm also joined by Dexter Payne, Director of the Division of Corrections, and we wanted to spend some time on the correctional facilities and the COVID inmates, the positive inmates in those facilities. And then we're also joined by Solomon Graves. And Solomon, as you know, he serves currently as Chief of Staff at the Department of Corrections under Secretary Wendy Kelly, who has served our state admirably, but she has submitted her resignation because of needs of her family. And so I have been interviewing and consulting with Chairman Magnus on this as well, and I have reached a decision that our next Secretary of Commerce should be, and I am here appointing Solomon Graves as our next Secretary of Commerce. And Solomon has a career, he's an Arkansan, he has a career within corrections, both in community corrections where he has served, and then in the Division of Corrections, where he has served as communications, as chief of staff, and so a broad background in correction that he brings. In addition, he has served on my transformation advisory group and working for the transformation of state government. He's been an instrumental advisor in my administration for the last 5 years. So, Solomon, very proud of you, and if you would come, I'd love to be able to give you the cabinet pen and ask you to make a comment.
Thank you so much, Governor. Good afternoon. I am both humbled and honored by the faith shown in me by Governor Hutchinson this afternoon through his announcements of his recommendation that I serve as the next Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Corrections. I look forward to meeting with the Board of Corrections in the coming days as they consider the Governor's recommendation and upon their confirmation to serving in this role. The staff and leadership team of the department are some of the most dedicated public servants I have had the honor to meet. My commitment to them is that we will remain focused on public safety, successful offender reentry, and working together to meet our various challenges and to improve the efficiency of our service to every Arkansan. I also want to take a moment to express my heartfelt appreciation to my family, which has sacrificed so much, and in so many ways they have enabled me to achieve the various successes throughout my career. I share every success I have achieved with them because without them, I would be nothing. Finally, in her absence, I do want to acknowledge Secretary Wendy Kelly. She has been more than a boss to me over the last 4.5 years. She has been one of my mentors. She has also remained a dedicated public servant throughout her 32-year state career. I wish her nothing but the best in her much-deserved retirement. Over the next week, I will be working with her in my new role as Secretary Designate to ensure a swift and smooth transition upon my confirmation by the Board of Corrections. Again, Governor, thank you.
Thank you, Solomon, and I was standing over there beside you thinking, did I make an error and say Secretary of Commerce? If I did, apologies to Mike Preston. He is still our Secretary of Commerce, but delighted to have Solomon join the Cabinet as Secretary of Corrections. And with that moment of pleasure, I do want to move to the serious topic of our case report. And as I expected from yesterday, with the low of 591 cases, but the delay in some of the entry into the system, I had confidence that our number today would be much higher, and it is. And so the number of cases that we've entered is 1,013. That brings our total cases to 36,259. In terms of hospitalizations, we have six additional hospitalizations. That brings us to 480. We have six additional deaths. That brings us to 386. The counties that we have that have increased cases would be Pulaski County with 113, Washington County with 76, Benton County with 73, Sebastian County with 65, and we have Craighead County with 41 and Crittenden County with 43. There are numerous other counties that have in the 25 to 30 range. I won't go through all of those. That data will be available to you, but that gives you a sense of the top counties and that they're spread really throughout the state from Craighead County to Saline, Mississippi County to Jefferson County. So it's broadly spread across the state. We do have, in terms of testing, we ran 5,487 tests, that is an increase, of course, from the day before. We've entered those, but we still need to do better in terms of our testing. I wanted to go to our Department of Corrections, and I have Dr. Romero make comments on this, as well as Director Dexter Payne will come. But I wanted to give you a flavor of where we are in our corrections unit, and even though we had a small number that went up today, we still have 841 active cases that are in our Department of Corrections, plus additional ones that are in the county jails, a small number there. Of the those in the corrections unit, the largest number is the Ouachita River facility in Malvern with 577 active cases. And from there, it goes down to the Cummins unit with 62, and everyone remembers the Cummins unit that was so high because we tested everybody there. They have recovered and is down to 62 active cases. And then the Tucker reentry is 20. You have 14 in East Arkansas Regional Facility. So let's focus on the Ouachita River facility in Malvern. And the reason this is a special concern is that this population includes all of those with special needs within the prison environment, that have those inmates that have medical issues. It includes an elderly population, those that might have mental health issues, and it serves as the prison's hospital facility as well. And so every male inmate that comes into the prison facility is evaluated there, unless they're going straight to death row. They're evaluated there, and then inmates that have particular health problems go to the Ouachita River unit. And I'm telling you this because whenever you have 577 positive cases, we're going to have an increase in hospitalizations from those, and we're very concerned about the health consequences because of their underlying health conditions. And so I've asked both Secretary Graves and Dexter Payne, Director Payne, to give special attention to those health needs to see if there's more that we need to be doing through WellPath, our medical contractor, to make sure we have adequate space to isolate when we need, that they have the attention and the health support that they need. To put it in perspective, that unit has a capacity of 1,900. And, of course, we stopped taking new inmates from our counties, and so we're not intaking them anymore and adding to the population. And so we've reduced the number in that facility from a capacity of 1,900 down to 1,739. All of those have been tested. 100% of those have been tested. And of those tested, we've had 577 positive cases. And with that, let me go on to the graph that covers all of the cases, again, going back statewide. And yes, over the last 24 hours, we've accounted for the largest number of community cases that we've had since we started tracking this. And again, I'm frustrated by it, but that does include some overlap from the previous day that we're not able to get entered in time. And then that gives us the rolling average, 7-day rolling average, that speaks for itself. And then you go to the number of active cases, which is a very relevant figure. It's not at the high water mark, but it is right at the 7,000 number. And then the 7-day rolling average of positive cases, which, as you can see, we got up above 10%. We're back down at or below that, and we want to continue to make progress on that lower positivity number. And then this goes to our testing capability in Arkansas. And I've talked with Dr. Romero about our Department of Health, which is the white part of the bar graph. And the Department of Health is lower in the last 24 hours. That has to be remedied so we can increase that. The last 2 days, we've had a lower number in our Department of Health testing. Our commercial lab continues to struggle, and that looks about constant there. And then this will end on that where I began earlier, which is the total cases in our correctional facilities, 4,655. Of those, the total active cases are 869. As you noted, I mentioned that we had 841 in the Department of Corrections, and so the additional ones are those that are in our county jails. This includes all of them. Recovered cases, 3,765. Total deaths that we've had is 21. Currently, we have 25 that are hospitalized, the entire prison environment, and that contrasts to a high number that we had at 38 at one point. And everyone in Arkansas should know that we care about our inmates. They didn't ask for COVID-19, and that was not expected during their period of incarceration. We want to make sure that they have the protection that they need. And we're working hard to make sure that we treat them in the best way possible to speed up their recovery. With that, let me ask Dr. Romero to come for his comments.
Thank you, Governor. So I will add a little bit more detail to the numbers that the Governor provided. As stated, our new cases are 1,013. The breakdown of that is 1,008 in the community and 5 in correctional. The number of individuals on a ventilator is still 107 and has not changed from yesterday. We've had 6 additional deaths for 386. Our total number of recovered patients to date is 28,864. And our active cases at this moment are 7,009, comprised of 146 from nursing homes, 869 from correctional facilities, and 5,994 community cases. Our total Arkansas cases was mentioned by the governor at 36,259. Our cumulative positivity rate is 8% at this time, and the governor went over the testing specimens. We have tested a total of 133,054 individuals. A couple of words about the correctional facilities and prevention and identification of individuals that could be exposed to COVID. All of the individuals in these correctional facilities have been issued face coverings, 2 coverings per person and sometimes more. Each individual is screened multiple times a day at the time of their meals with temperatures and questions. Testing is active, they have tested 100% of the patients, of the individuals in the correctional facility in the Wachita facility. I have a couple of more things outside of that if the governor will permit me. A question was asked yesterday during the press conference about how we determine positivity rates. I will. This has been explained by Dr. Smith, and I've discussed this with our statisticians.
that positivity rate is determined by the total number of tests that are performed on any given day, that given day X, and the number of positive tests that are reported that come from that day. So that gives us the positivity rate. That will change over time. As you understand, we are receiving specimen results from the commercial and private laboratory labs at a later date. So that will vary over time, but that has not changed in our approach to that. Two other things. Today or tomorrow, we will post recommendations for visitation to nursing homes and to congregate living facilities. Nursing home recommendations are pretty much unchanged. That is 28 days without a case. The big change, if you will, is in the congregate living centers that have individual housing units. So visitation will be determined per individual housing unit. So if the housing unit has not had any cases of COVID, then those persons may receive visitors. Cases occurring in a housing unit, they will need to wait the 28 days as prescribed. And lastly, we have identified electronic measures that will allow us to more rapidly receive results from labs and from the coroners. We're in the process of putting these into place, and we'll do so over the next several weeks to months. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Governor, I'd like to thank you for your leadership and all that you do for the citizens of Arkansas. Currently, the Arkansas Division of Correction has COVID positives at the current facilities. The Wrightsfield Complex, the East Arkansas Regional Unit, the Cummins Unit, the Pine Bluff Complex, the Tucker Reentry Center, the Grimes Unit, the Washita River Correctional Unit, and the Northwest Arkansas Work Release Center. As of last night, we have tested a total of 8,583 inmates, which is over half of the inmates at our facilities. Of those 8,583 inmates, we have had a total of 3,789 positive tests. Of those 3,789 positive tests, 2,970 of those are considered recovered, according to the Arkansas Department of Health guidelines. We currently have 841 active cases in the total Department of Correction. We have sent a total of 103 inmates to outside hospitals for treatment since April, when the COVID epidemic began with us. Unfortunately, we have had a total of 21 inmates that have passed away due to COVID-19 related symptoms. I would like to take this time to thank my correctional staff for the great job they've done. They've been the face of this. They've been on front lines, and I'd like to thank them. I'd also like to thank our offender population, who has helped with cleaning and wearing their masks and being very understanding during this national healthcare pandemic. That's all I have at this time, and Governor, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you.
With that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
Challenges presents for the Department of Corrections when you have an outbreak in the Washita River unit versus the outbreak that we had in the Cummins unit?
Well, I mean, first of all, it is a population that is in poor health. They have underlying health conditions. It's an elderly population. So that in and of itself presents a real problem. And so we have to watch it more carefully. I've challenged our leadership, Director Payne and Secretary Solomon, to go in there and meet with our contractor, WellPath. You know, what more can we do to make sure that we pay close attention? I challenged them on a few things, and the fact that we are screening them every day really gives us attention to their immediate health needs that we can respond to quicker. But that's the underlying challenge, is simply the health condition of those inmates.
Are you doing anything differently? Is there anything more precautions taken to help protect this elderly population?
Well, I just recited what I've asked them to look into as to what more we can do in terms of the screening. Dexter, do you want to? Is that something we did before? Is that new there? You want to? Okay. So that's been a constant practice. We do have additional space that we can make sure that they have adequate separation there.
In making your selection for the next secretary, is there anything, a new direction at all you'd like to see the department head, either specifically as it deals with COVID-19 or their overall mission?
Well, in terms of the challenge that Secretary Solomon, if I might call him that, will face is the transformation, bringing the community corrections and the corrections together as they have one mission with some separate functions there. And that is one of the reasons I ask Solomon to do this, is that he has experience in it, he understands it, he's worked on the transformation. And so we want to develop the culture of one department there, community and Division of Corrections working together, and I believe that will lead to efficiencies. It already has. He's engaged in it. And then, obviously, it's continued emphasis on public safety. Did you want to add to that, Secretary?
To echo the governor's comments, our focus is going to remain on public safety of offender reentry, while also maximizing the resources that we are receiving. Corrections is a high need area within state government. We have to be good stewards of our resources and understand that at times shifting our focus also means realigning our priorities, taking a step back, determining what we're doing, is it a best practice, implementing those best practices, and moving away from things that aren't necessarily reflective of best practice.
Just to follow up on the recommendations from the Arkansas chapter of the Academy of Pediatrics, I know you said yesterday that you're reviewing those. I was wondering specifically about the recommendation on going county by county, depending on the level of the virus in that county, on whether to reopen. If that's something that you're considering, or have you?
Actually, that concept is built into the framework that we have issued in terms of statewide guidelines. And so we are paying attention county by county, and actually probably even more closely than that, now that we have citywide data, that we can look at the level of spread in that school district, in that city, or in that county, and make decisions based upon that. So absolutely, we really are fundamentally making decisions based upon what the situation is in that particular local area.
Making the decision to initially start with in-classroom instruction. I know in the guidelines it allows for scaling that back if they have some cases, but in terms of delaying the initial start.
Well, that's just a different way to look at it. We are going county by county in terms of our approach to it. The difference is that we want to start with in-classroom instruction. They do not necessarily want to do that. And so we have, again, 30 days to make our progress and to plan on it. I think that's important, and I do want to continue to work with them, and hopefully we can have some discussions that will be useful.
This might be a question for Mr. Payne or Mr. Graves, but are there any correctional units that don't have any cases? And if so, is there something that they're doing differently, or are they just lucky?
Yes, we have several units that do not have cases. Basically doing the same thing department-wide. So I don't want to just call it lucky, but I guess we're blessed to not have them at those facilities.
Do you have a list of them, or is that not off the top of your head? If not, no worries. But
I can tell you off the top of my head. The North Central unit in Calico Rock, the Delta unit in Dermont, the Maximum Security unit in Tucker, the McPherson unit in Newport, also the Benton work release, have, now those facilities don't have any current cases of COVID. And also the Varner unit in Cummins, in Grady, I'm sorry.
This might also be another question for them. Has there been any discussion on lifting the restrictions on visitation or volunteer services at the department? I know like we've obviously seen work towards that in nursing homes. But
no, we do not anticipate that at this time. It's such a fragile environment in terms of how easy it is to bring the virus in, and so we have risk enough with staff going to the community and back in. We cannot expand that into visitation at this time, and I know that's a heartache for the families, but I know that they're also very concerned about the health of the community, the facility, and that's a highest priority right now. Yes, ma'am.
I believe my question is for Dr. Romero, but could you elaborate a little bit more on the process of implementing the electric communications between the labs and coroner's office, and how soon can we expect that to be implemented?
So, as you know, this question was placed, it was voiced yesterday. We have identified the mechanisms by which we think we can remedy it, but I cannot give you details, nor can I tell you what the timeline will be at this time. Hopefully, in the next week or so, I'll be able to give you more details. We just came, they brainstormed this very quickly. Our staff is very good at doing this.
Let's go remotely.
And this is Emma Claybrook with 4029 News. According to her daughter, a Tyson worker at the Randall Road plant in Springdale that tested positive for COVID-19 7 days ago is being asked to return to work on Monday. She was tested a week ago today and got her results on Sunday. She's still symptomatic and doesn't feel safe or well enough to go back to work. However, we're told she was informed she will not receive any more sick leave if she doesn't return Monday. How should she proceed, and could pressure to return to work at poultry plants be a reason they're being affected by a large amount of cases?
Well, first of all, you were breaking up a lot during that, but I think this is the same fact situation that was raised to me yesterday, actually, by when I met with the legislators in Northwest Arkansas. And, of course, if any worker is asked to return before they have gone through their 14 days of quarantine, then that would be a violation of our public health guidelines. And so that inquiry is being made to see if that is simply an error or for what the reason is. But I don't have any more facts on it than what I've just recited. It's certainly out of compliance and out of the ordinary, and my staff is exploring that as we speak. Is there another question?
Governor, it's Rolly Hoyt with THV 11. A question for both you and the prison officials. Elderly and geriatric prisons have ended up at the center of a couple of appeals court cases, federal appeals court cases, because they have different populations that require special circumstances and policies put in place. What specifically have you guys done differently at Washita River, differently from what has been done at Cummins and the other units that haven't seen as many cases?
Well, I think we've addressed that in part, but whenever you look at what we did at Cummins, we did learn some things from that. I think we get better at it, and the utilization of our staff, the protection of the inmates, and so as you improve those practices, that carries over. But in the end, Cummins has had a recovery, and so their case count is down to a very small, manageable number. And so I just hope that we can have a level of success at Washita River and improve upon that than based upon that experience. And Dr. Romero, I know that you are looking at that. Or Dexter, did you have any further comment on anything different there?
No, sir.
Okay. Next question. With that, y'all are good? All right. Thank you all very much.
I've got one question, if I could, before you leave then, please. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. For the prison officials, one of the units that does not have any cases, I think you said, is the Benton or Benton County work release. In that case, are those inmates on work release still going out of the community every day? And is that with health department approval? Because they might be bringing something back without knowing it.
Yes, sir. The Benton County work release facility still has inmates employed in the community, and yes, they are still supporting that community by working at those jobs in the community.
And the health department's okay with their going out into the community and coming back?
Well, when they're not positive and they're not symptomatic and there's not any cases in the unit, I think that's the case that we have. So the answer is yes, they continue to do the work.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We'll hopefully see you tomorrow. Thank you.